If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Well, we're going to go to the phones now, and I want to introduce you to Pete Denagi. Denagi, I guess, is how we pronounce his name. Anyway, he's going to be speaking at MetroCon on IoT, the Internet of Things, and you can find out more about that conference at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the conference, tell you all about it. But in the meantime, Pete is here. He's the president of Internet of Things America, focused on managed IoT, and the subject of his presentation is overcoming connectivity challenges to support smart agriculture and rural IoT applications. And it sounds like this is going to be quite an interesting talk. So welcome to the program, Pete.
Why, thanks, Colonel. I appreciate you having me on. So we're pretty excited about this. This should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun every year. This is our 31st year of doing it. But I there's a number of questions that have come up here. For a layperson like me, like support smart agriculture. Are you going to explain what smart agriculture is before we can move forward with our questions?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So agriculture has, in some regards, stayed patent and static in the way we grow things for thousands and thousands of years. In a number of ways, agriculture is the most innovative part of society. You know, technology has gone forward and done amazing things with increasing yields of crops, increasing and improving the ways we harvest crops, in animal science, in the ability to go forward and drive greater yields from farms. However, one of the things that has been a challenge is with the boom of technology and the advances of the internet and the ability to go forward and drive innovation, agriculture has in some regards been left behind. And primarily the reason for that is not the fact that people don't want to go forward and improve the capabilities and the manners in which we grow and raise and harvest crops, is the fact that they can't actually implement technology in the field due to the lack of connectivity.
Okay. Helps answer the questions. I want to explore this a little further, but I'm talking with a friend of mine over the weekend. He says, you know, there's no independent farmers any longer. He said they're all corporate farms. And I wasn't aware that they're all corporate farms. I thought there are many of them. But do you have a problem differentiating between the independent farmer and corporate farms? And is it really true that the independent farmer is gone?
So, in some regards, that's not a false statement. There are a lot of independent farmers still left. However, there's a mantra in farming today, go big or go home. Now, one of the trends is that farmers are not necessarily selling the farm. What farmers are doing are leasing land to large corporations. So the economies of scale in farming are such that you can drive more value in a larger farm than you can in a smaller farm. The average farm size in America has grown from 434 acres in 2012 to 504 acres in 2017. So that trend's compelling, and the reason for it is young people aren't going into farming at the same pace that their predecessors have. The average farmer is getting older, and the number of farmers in America are dwindling. that and the fact that there are actually less acres of farmland every year being harvested, and that becomes impactful. Yet we have a big problem. The big problem is, you know, our population is growing. Right now the world has roughly 7.1 billion people, and the projections are by 2050 the world's going to have 9 billion people. And the big issue with regard to that is the number of resources available remains static at best. Okay, there is no more land that's being made to farm. There is no more water being, you know, water is a renewable resource, yet it's a finite resource.
Right, yeah.
And 70% of all water used in the United States is for agriculture. And, you know, there's a lot of trends that people don't want to use fertilizers and pesticides for good reason. So farmers are in a quandary. With fewer farmers on less land, how do I raise more food to feed more people?
Okay, so the image of the independent farmer all in a knit because of these tariffs that are causing the soybean market to disappear or fall dramatically. These are really big corporations and boardrooms, and not some independent farmer standing out in the field saying, "Oh, woe is me, I've lost my market." Is that right?
A lot of them are big corporations that are saying, "Woe is me, I've lost my market." But there are some larger independent farmers. They haven't gone away completely. You know, some family farms have consolidated into companies. So what used to have, you know, Farmer Jones down the street, or the picture of American Gothic with the farmer and his wife and the pitchfork, have changed to the family farm, which is a corporation with higher hands. Now, that being said, the soybean market collapsing due to tariffs and foreign competition is absolutely, you know, it's a reality.
Okay, so who's being affected then? The big corporations or farmers pervasively?
Yes, both.
Okay, all right. So your company, the Internet of Things America, is facing the challenges of connectivity for IoT. How is that going to change things?
It's a great question, Colonel. Right now, the federal government has active programs to provide broadband access to the farm. Okay. So that they can go and utilize technology. Because there have been great promises and great capabilities shown by leveraging the data to go forward and provide historical, real-time, and predictive modeling to increase the yields. So the government is spending billions of dollars bringing fiber connectivity to the field, you know, to the farmhouse. The issue at hand, however, is that the data and the sensors that need to be collected are out in the field. If I have a 10,000 acre ranch and I have fiber to my farmhouse and I have broadband speeds, the good news is I can do a lot of corporate and detailed analytical work in the farmhouse. The problem is I have no real ability to collect data from the field because cell companies, and rightfully so, haven't built a lot of infrastructure in rural America to cover the fields. They might cover the farmhouse, they might cover the road, but they're not going to architect their wireless, their 4G wireless connectivity schema to go forward into pasture land. And what we do is we manage the capabilities that are there. So if there is cellular, we manage it and provide connectivity to sensors and solutions. And if there is no connectivity available, then we install LPWAN gateways, low-powered wide area network gateways that have the ability to connect thousands of sensors for the farm or the ranch over a vast array of land.
So why is this useful? Is this for self-driving tractors or regulating the amount of water that flows to a stock tank or to a field or something? Or what's the use of this?
That's a great question, right? So let's take a couple of use cases. So I'm a rancher, and I have a 10,000-acre ranch. I might have 36 water tanks on my farm to go for my cattle to drink. Now, I have to go and check those 36 tanks on a daily basis to see if there's water, because if there is no water, then of course obviously we have a problem with the cows and they potentially could die of thirst. So the average rancher spends on a 10,000 acre farm 2 to 3 hours every day going forward and checking to see if there's water in the tanks. And they have the same problem with diesel tanks for the tractors and plows, and they have the same problem with propane tanks, because of course there's no city gas in rural America, so we have to go and you know, utilize propane for that powering. Concurrently, you have probably a large fence infrastructure with many gates. Okay, the ability to go forward and see if the gates are open or closed right now without sensor technology, without IoT, means that I have to go and check the gates, which could be getting on my horse, getting on my four-wheeler, getting in my truck, and driving around the proximity. Okay, with sensors, you could absolutely do that. Let's say I'm a farmer. I can go forward and put soil sensors in to manage, you know, to monitor the pH, to monitor the moisture. I can have weather data, weather sensors that monitor the weather. And that's important in a big farm, because the weather on one side of the farm is vastly different than the weather on the other side of a farm, you know, from a precision perspective. I can go forward and monitor, you know, my nitrogen level in the ground. I can monitor, you know, how I have deployed pesticides or fertilizers. I can monitor the growth of the crops. I can monitor weed infestation. And I can go and monitor all sorts of livestock health applications as well, including stress and heartbeat, temperature, and whether a cow is in heat or whether a cow is giving birth. You know, these are things that are very useful, because at the end of the day, the only asset that the farmer has is his land and her time.
Yeah.
Okay. And by improving the utilization of both, we anticipate the ability to deliver greater yields to go and fulfill that value proposition of feeding America.
Well, I get the picture. That is that's a clear picture, and I want to thank you a bunch, Pete, for making that so vivid for me and hopefully for our listeners. Then, of course, there's the question you might have already touched on, and maybe you can delve a little deeper. How are you going to overcome these connectivity challenges, since the connectivity doesn't currently exist much?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a hard question to answer, right? So we call it the Mississippi River problem. So when you're west of the Mississippi, there are great expanses of America that are ranches and farms, but no people. Cell companies never put in the infrastructure, because they're measured by a financial metric called ARPU, which is average revenue per user. Well, very few cows use cell phones, right? So they're not going to go and drive smartphone revenues off wireless contracts by instantiating service in farms. So what we have come to utilize where there is no cellular connectivity, and let me make this perfectly clear, we will certainly use cellular technology to manage these solutions where cellular technology exists. We really don't care about the type of connectivity. However, where there is no connectivity, let's call it a connectivity desert, we put in LoRa gateways. So LoRaWAN, and that's spelled L-O-R-A, is a standard that was approved in 2015, so it is a new standard, that utilizes narrowband over 900 megahertz. And we can install a LoRa gateway very inexpensively on a farmhouse, and that gateway will connect up to 20,000 concurrent sensors over a 10-kilometer radius. So in essence, if you do some quick math, 10 kilometers is about 6.2 miles, or if you look at the entire area of that coverage, one gateway will cover about 75,000 acres.
And this is all done wireless, RF, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 900 megahertz RF. That's right. It is unlicensed spectrum. It is free to use. Now, doing 900 megahertz in a city is a little bit of a challenge because there's a lot of systems contending for that, you know, that free spectrum, that bandwidth.
Yeah.
In rural America, however, you know, very few cows use baby monitors. So we're not really seeing much competition for that spectrum. So it makes it an ideal utilization of a resource that's available for anybody to use to connect sensors and provide important value.
This appears to be a vast market for the Internet of Things America, and you look like you're really on your way. But you've got to contact all these farmers and corporations and say, here's something that that we can do. But that looks to be like you've got your work cut out for you for the next couple of years.
You know, it's very interesting. It's formerly I was a partner at a consulting firm called Accenture, and you know, after that, I was the general manager of enterprise mobility at a company called Samsung. And we had very different problems in growing our market. You know, the need is absolutely dynamic in rural America. It is a market that's hugely underserved and has great value that's pretty undeniable. What the challenge, and you've hit it right on the head, you know, there are over 3 million farms in America, and getting to each of the farms to A, install equipment, and B, to go forward and stand up solutions. Because we're doing more than just lighting up the solutions. We're also providing a catalog of solutions for the farmer to go forward and stand up, right? Or for the small town to go forward and stand up. Because candidly speaking, farmers are really smart. Farmers are really diligent people. They're the hardest people they're the hardest working people in America. However, they're not IoT technologists. They're not going to go forward and say, what's my best IoT solution for irrigation or proximity sensors or tank monitoring or meter reading? And we're trying to make it easy because we're also going to stand up a marketplace of solutions where they can go in and pick the solution that provides the greatest ROI, TCO, or compliance benefit for the farmer, and provide them, you know, management of those capabilities as well.
So, Pete, when you put the wraps on this presentation you're going to make at MetroCon, you want people to leave with one succinct idea, I presume, and can you give us a little summary of what you want the takeaway to be?
Yeah, so the takeaway is IoT is complex. We're trying to take the complexity out of IoT for rural applications so that farmers, ranchers, small towns can go and focus on what they do best and leverage IoT to improve their yields by 10 to 30%.
Wow, that's quite a vision. Well, put on your futurist cap for just a minute and look down the road. I know you must do that because you're in the business of solving these problems. What do you see 5 years down the road, or even 10 or 20?
So 5 years down the road, you know, I see a connected community of farmers that are leveraging a mesh of sensors that provide them information that they can go and, you know, and manage. I see them going and utilizing the farmhouse, candidly, as a command center. Autonomous vehicles are very real in rural America. As a matter of fact, they, you know, while sensor connectivity has been lagging, the autonomous vehicles, you know, R&D for tractors and farm equipment has been actually leading the pack, and autonomous tractors are in the field today. So I actually see the farmer being an analytics engineer, going and you know, leveraging his automated fleet of services to go and deploy deploy what's needed to increase the yield on the farm, whether it be water, whether it be fertilizer, whether it be pesticide, whether it be some harvesting capabilities. And I also believe that you're not going to see farmers going and making capital purchases on these equipment anymore. I'm going to say, I think, a farmer, she will look at, and by the way, I'm trying to intersperse men and women because there are a lot of great women farmers too, right? I think she's going to go forward and, put together a capability to pay for tractor and reaping and tilling services on a SaaS basis, right? So I need this tractor for 3 days, and they're going to go forward and do, in essence, an Uber type of a buy. I'm going to need this type of spraying service, and they're going to be able to go forward and buy services on demand. And I think that's coming to the farm as well.
All right.
A managed service model is going to be very big.
All right. I've got a tough question for you. It's something I'm asking all the IoT guys that I'm talking to, and you may not have an answer, and that's okay, but I really need to bring it up. Big discussion I had with people over coffee this past weekend, and what are we going to do with the people that are unemployed because of IoT? I mean, we're vast numbers of people losing their jobs. Will there be new jobs created for these people, or will some sort of a guaranteed income because of taxing the IoT capabilities be put in place? How do you see that?
It's a great question. It's a question that's been asked for hundreds of years. You know, over the period of the last hundreds of years, as we have gone and innovated, people have always asked, well, what happens when I take my factory and I stop building cars and I do an assembly line? And what happens when I take my factory and I stop, using the assembly line and I start using robots? And what happens when I outsource my labor to India? You know, well, the same metric holds true in farming. You know, right now, one of the big crises in farming is they can't get enough labor now to go and do the harvest, okay? Especially since, we are now restricting migrant workers to come into the United States. We're actually losing crops because we don't have enough people to go and harvest. I don't know if you read this recently, but in Maryland, the crab crop, they had half the yields because they don't have people to go do it. We have a manpower issue in rural America, so I think automation and mechanization is actually going to solve a big problem that we currently have. It's a huge issue, and there are just not enough people to go in the field and harvest. There are not enough people to go in the field and do the work. I mean, this is not work that, your average millennial actually wants to do, and automation is good. So I think it's a great thing. We have fewer farmers now, and we're going to have fewer farmers in the future because people want to move to cities, yet people want to eat. I think it's ideal for the farm.
Oh, great insight, Pete. You really have, and I'm going to ask for a little more insight from you before we get out of here. But you told me at the beginning of this off mic that you're an old timer like me, And you've certainly been mentored in your career, and you're now doing mentoring. It's probably most of what you're doing with your associates. Do you have a word to live by? Do you have maybe a creed to follow we can pass on to coming generations and on words to live by?
I do, actually. You know, I think about this a lot. I'm on the board at SMU for big data. I mentor at a couple of tech incubators here in the Metroplex, and I'm the former chair of the IoT Forum for North Texas, as well as being an advisor on IoT for the Telecommunications Industry Association. So I do a lot of that type of work. And what I tell people, it's really simple. I live my life by, you know, a very simple phrase. If I do good, I'll do well. So I try to inspire everybody to go and do the right thing and do something because it's important. One of the reasons that I was attracted to starting Internet of Things America, IoT America, was the fact that there is an underserved market that we must importantly enable to go forward and help people, right? I mean, imagine, you know, much of the crops that we grow today are wasted in supply chain. If we could enable the supply chain to go and, you know, deliver more effectively using IoT, we'll have less crop waste. You know, much of what we do right now is we have to shepherd our water resources. Again, 70% of all water is used in agriculture. In California, the biggest user of water are actually the almond and walnut crops in California. Most people don't realize that. If we can manage that effectively, you know, we could be good stewards to all of our people on the planet.
Okay. Pete DeNagy, the president of Internet of Things America, going to be a guest speaker at the Metricon conference. If you want to know more about that, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. And in the meantime, plan to see Pete at the Metricon conference going on to the Hearst Convention Center the 7th of November. We really look forward to hearing your presentation, Pete. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for your time, Colonel Mason.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz.